Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Lion's Gold Blend. Biscuits. To dunk or not to dunk? Lion's Gold Blend. A richer taste for richer talk.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 is our text number. Joe at rte.ie. Declan McGonigal is a director of the National College of Art and Design in Dublin. Declan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You've read this review by Manix Flynn.
Yes.
Councillor Manix Flynn, also an artist himself and a writer.
Yes.
Of a book called Heirlooms and Hand-Me-Downs. And the review is in a fantastic magazine. It's called the Irish Arts Review.
Yes.
You are upset by the review, to say the least, I'm told.
It's more of an attack than a review. It's almost a personal attack on the artist, first of all, but on the whole idea of the project that is described and represented and to some extent embodied in the publication. So he's reviewing the book, but the larger idea of the project, which involved the artist Chris Reid, talking to people in Dublin 8 over a long period of time, inviting them to take part in conversations with him, tell their stories, essentially. He then took quotes from these stories and created these bronze plaques which were put on walls in the vicinity of where the people lived. And the basic idea is a very straightforward idea that usually it's only the great and the good and the powerful and the rich and the wealthy and so forth who get commemorated or represented or validated on bronze plaques on the walls of cities. And Chris's project was about letting ordinary people who lived in these neighbourhoods actually be validated for their stories to get out.
Okay, but Manix Flynn says this is not at all what's happened. He says this is not a practice at all, but it's a cynical attempt to give authenticity to a clichéd, patronising and exploitative portrayal of communities that by and large reside in social housing complexes. This form of pseudo-arts practice has appeared under many guises: community art, community participation, socially engaging art, all ring-fenced by various grants, the Ballymun Breaking Ground, the Arts Council Initiatives for Community Art, and in this instance, Dublin City Council's Percent for Art Scheme. This work is a version of events often used to prop up a nonsense known as community arts practice. What has the artist Chris Reid done to invite such vitriol?
Well, that's a question I would ask. I would also ask Manix, why does he think that the people in Dublin 8 with whom Chris Reid worked and whose stories are represented in these plaques are less able than he to understand what was going on here? The way this project was put together was painstaking in its attention to the sensitivities of people. Conversations were had. People were invited to participate if they wanted to. The book is stuffed full of personal stories and personal artifacts, photographs and representations of letters, family photographs and so forth. So there was complete participation. And I reject completely the idea that that either Chris Reid is patronizing as an artist or that indeed this whole way of working, which is given various labels, everything from community arts to socially engaged practice, is itself patronizing, because it actually represents a very big change in how artists are working now in attempt.
But Manix Flynn says they are the sentimentalized musings of the hard done by and the salt of. These are people up in Bride Street, Ross Street, but just under the shadow of Christchurch Cathedral is the best description for people outside the city. These are the four or five streets that were involved in this project.
Yes.
But he said it's the sentimentalised musings of the hard done by and the salt of the earth. It's quite telling that the author cold calls the residents in order to get them to participate. While acknowledging the contributors, he does acknowledge them as verbatim authors or co-authors. He doesn't acknowledge them as verbatim authors or co-authors or co-producers.
Well, I think Manix is just simply wrong there, because it's very clear that the participants in this project are the co-authors.
What has this artist done, and what has this project? It's basically plaques, 15 or 16 plaques,
yes,
up on the wall of those streets around Christchurch Cathedral, which contain statements by ordinary people. But what is it in this project that has invited such vitriol?
I, Well, I find it very hard to say because I know.
Were you surprised when you read the review?
Yes, it's very, very strong. As I said, it's more of an attack on the individual artist, the project, but also this whole area of work. And I think Mannix clearly has a difficulty with the whole area of work, and I think he's localizing his problems with this whole area of work in this specific project. But as I say, it isn't really a review because there's nothing constructive in this at all. It's entirely a put-down. And he's entitled to take that view, of course he is. But this is a publication, the Irish Arts Review, which invites discussion, reviews exhibitions, reviews publications, dealing with exhibitions and catalogues and so forth. And the really useful part of that sort of dialogue or even an argument is what can come out of it constructively. And I'm afraid I see very little that is constructive.
Well, we're told that the artist is very upset about the review.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because I know Chris Reid.
Apparently, he worked on it for 9 years.
His projects run for years because it involves so much winning of trust of the participants in the project. It's not simply cold calling. It starts to some extent with some cold calling.
Of course, yeah.
But leaflets are distributed. People are engaged in community settings. People are made feel very comfortable. I know this from direct experience. Chris worked with me on a project when I was working in the University of Ulster in very sensitive locations in Belfast. And Chris will invest whatever amount of time it takes to win the trust of people. And he perfectly accepts if people decide not to participate. There is no sense of oppression or forcing the issue with people.
Okay, but Mannix does go on to say it is about propping up intrusion, masquerading as art practice, and giving credibility to those who would teach this stuff as a valid way to practice art.
Well, I think that gives us a sense of where Mannix is coming from. His argument is with the wider issues of what I would describe as some of the most interesting and dynamic developments in art practice in the last number of years. And that's to do with the way the artist is beginning not to separate him or herself from the public, but sees the public as a co-producer of meaning and value, and that the artifacts that are made arise from that relationship. That is a very different idea of art and artist from the 19th century model that Mannix seems to be admiring here in some way.
Mannix is saying this project is a fraud.
Well, I think that really is nonsense. That is completely wrong. Now, having said that, there have been occasions when I think communities have been exploited by artists who have seen themselves as engaged in some sort of missionary work. And I personally, in terms of my work, I reject that model of the relationship between the artist and the community. I totally reject that. But the art context has moved on from that model.
Stay there for a sec, Declan. Let me bring in Councillor John Gallagher from the Liberties in Dublin. And John has been a long-time councillor up there. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Now, would Mannix Flynn be one of your competitors, so to speak, John?
Well, he would be. I'm in the South Central. He'd be in the South East.
Okay, he's on the neighbouring constituency, so to speak.
I find at times he's excellent.
Well, he's basically saying this whole project, heirlooms and hand-me-downs, is a fraud.
It's not. I was involved on the subcommittee in the Dublin City Council when the proposal first came to them. And the IG spoke to us, told us what it was about. And I found it very interesting and very enjoyable talking to him. He seemed to me to be really sincere. And I felt I'm a bit sentimental about it. I enjoyed it because it was real and for me.
So what is it? Just explain to people who haven't seen the book or the plaque, so to speak. But what is in the book, John? You launched it.
It's telling stories. People interviewed by the author, telling stories about, for instance, collecting turf and getting paid for it, for delivering it when there was no other fuel available in the area. Also, dealing with people who had no money to go to the Tivoli, for instance. It was fourpence into the Tivoli, and the young people would collect waste,
jam
bread, and pay it, get fourpence for it, go into the Tivoli on what they had earned. There were other things about men who were in the British Army, the people waiting for the Pip-Pip man to come to knock at the door to get their money when they were coming from the army, the money they were entitled to. There were lots of things like that, stories about how people lived. And living not too far away from Ross Road, I live in the Coombe, it meant to me it was real. And
Manning Flynn says it's patronising, clichéd, exploitative.
Well, if that was so, I'd be very disappointed. But I was very pleased with it. I was so pleased with it that 2 weeks ago it was on in the. He was discussing it in Kevin Street Library, and I went down and I enjoyed the stories that they were telling there. It's an excellent book. It's well worth reading. And I think Mannix is not right on this.
Since this review was brought to our attention, we've been trying to get Mannix Flynn, so that's over a day and a half now, but we left him loads of messages, but we haven't been able to talk to him.
He was in the City Council last night.
I know that. So he is around. But anyway, that's his decision. James Goff is there. Stay there, John. 51551. James, your mother, who recently died, unfortunately, was a contributor to this project.
Yeah, that's right, Joe.
Did she think, as Mannix Flynn said, that she was patronised and exploited?
No, quite the opposite. She was delighted to see Chris. Chris came in to her. She was staying in the Old Mead Hospital, the Mead Community Unit, where he looked after her very well. And Chris came in to see her a couple of times, and he recorded her. And in actual fact, that's the only recording I have, is the one Chris has of her voice. But she was very, very happy to talk to him and talk about old days.
And the whole image that Mannix Flynn portrays of the book in this review is one that it is. He says this is nonsense propped up. This is nonsense dressed up as a community arts practice.
Well, I don't know where Mannix gets his definition of nonsense. I can only say that my mother told the man the truth. What she said actually happened. So it's certainly not nonsense. It's true. Now, it might be, in his opinion, nonsense. I don't know where he gets his opinion from. But what she told him was true.
And have you seen the actual finished product?
Oh, I have the book. I've read the book, sir.
And what do you think of it?
I thought it was grand, you know, and I was very happy with my mother's contribution to it. I was only sorry she didn't actually get a plaque out of it, but sure, you can't have everything.
And the plaques are various quotes from people.
That's right, I've seen them around the place.
Yeah, and so the quotes are there and the person's named at the end, and it goes up on the wall, so people,
yeah.
And it's a very historic part of Dublin as well, as we know, between Christchurch and St Patrick's and Bull Alley and all that carry on. So you reject what Mannix is saying?
I certainly do, and I don't understand why he's saying it. But then again, like I said, I'm at a disadvantage. I haven't seen the review, but certainly from the tone of what I'm hearing, that's certainly not the way my mother looked on it, or me either. My name is actually down as a contributor, although nothing I said has actually appeared in the book, but my name is in the back, okay?
Okay, Peter Mooney is on the line. Peter, you say Mannix Flynn has an agenda of his own.
Well, I do, Joe. I'll tell you why. Mannix has done similar projects where he put plaques up around the place about things that concerned and interested him. And I can't at all understand. It strikes me that Mannix is part of a bunch of people who want to define culture, a kind of an artistic elite who they own culture and they can define what culture is. And then when somebody comes along and does something that expresses the culture of ordinary people and gives ordinary people a voice, they kind of have some kind of resentment to it. That's what I think. I have the book in front of me,
okay,
and I think it's the most wonderful book. I grew up not too far from it, and I think it's the most amazing evocation of a time that's passed and gone.
Is it, as Mannix says, cliched, patronising, exploitative?
Well, no, absolutely not. Can I give you a quote?
Pseudo-arts.
All right, let me give you a quote.
The sentimentalised musings of the hard done by and the salt of the earth.
Well, hang on. You can judge, and one of your listeners can judge. Here's a quote from one of the plaques. It's very short. The hill was steeper, the street narrower, the surface was all cobblestones. When winter weather made them freeze, the horses struggled to climb. Sparks flew from their hooves. Now, I remember when the streets around there were cobblestones. I remember that. I don't see what's patronising. I don't see that's just telling it like it was and evoking the past that's gone. And insofar as there are plaques on the wall doing that, it's a brilliant project.
Joe,
Declan, yeah.
Could I come in there? Yeah, just
yeah, of course, yeah.
I think Mannix is confusing sentimentality with sentiment. What this book is full of is real sentiment. And there's nothing sentimental about some of the quotes, because what people describe was very difficult, sometimes very difficult emotional circumstances, sometimes difficult material circumstances. A lot of reality in those quotes. And I don't see anything sentimental about the remembering how life was in that particular way.
Absolutely. And Joe, can I give you another quote that illustrates that point exactly?
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of the plaques. It says, they had 7 children and decided this was enough. One day after Mass, she arrived home and told her husband that the priest said no one of childbearing age should stop having children. Sometime later, she had another. Both she and the baby died during birth. They were buried together. Now, that's sentiment. That's not sentimental.
Yes.
And in fact, it's very hard. And again, an evocation of a time that's gone.
And that's one of the plaques. That's one
that's
of the,
one of
that
the
will
plaques.
That will last for, I presume, the idea is hundreds of years.
That lasts forever, as long as those buildings are there. And in 100 years' time, when people are walking around, they're going to look at those plaques and they're going to get an inkling of what life was like for people in the 40s, 50s and 60s in that area.
But Declan, would it be an indication of a general cynicism at the moment about money for arts? Apparently this project costs, and I take your point, by the way, that Chris Reid, the artist, who I repeat is very upset about what was written about in the Irish Arts Review by Mannix Flynn, and he worked for 9 years on it. It costs 64,000, but people are reading things. In the same magazine, by the way, you'll read that 4 million was of taxpayers' money in the current crisis. 4 million was spent on an exhibition in Eardsford Terrace last year. I think it was called the Dublin Contemporary Art Show. You might help me there, Declan.
It is the Dublin Contemporary.
Yeah. The Irish Arts Review say that money went down the drain. I quote, that money has gone down the drain. So that's 4 million. Emma up the road there in the Royal Hospital Kilmainham is effectively closed for over a year. Yeah, and it will get the same budget this year, whether it's open or closed, but it is closed. Three quarters of the National Gallery is closed. A significant number of rooms in the Hugh Lane Gallery is closed because of staffing shortages. Maybe Mannix is articulating a general, and Bobby Ballard mentioned these things as well, a general upset that so many arts projects are either a waste of money, as the Dublin Contemporary seems to have been, or we're not getting access to what we're paying for anyway.
Well, just to correct you on Emma, Emma has opened a temporary space in Eardsford Terrace, so
yeah.
it's not. His programs continue both in Kilmainham and in Eardsford Terrace. I think what we need in this society.
Are you on the board of Emma, Declan?
I'm not. No.
Okay. Mannix Flynn was.
He was. That's right. Yeah. He was a board member of Emma. No, I think what we need in this society, and unfortunately, it's difficult circumstances in which they have a sort of debate is. And I think the art sector has started to rise to this challenge, and that the challenge for the art sector and artists is to demonstrate what the value of the arts in general, in this case the visual arts, is to society. What is the value? What is the public value? And what is it that justifies public investment, either in good times or hard times, into culture in general? And I believe personally that, you know, while we have to have a functioning economy, if we do not have a functioning culture as well, and culture is simply, in my definition, what people make and do to add value to the quality of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
The arts are part of that. But if we do not invest in our culture, we won't know who we are. We will not have a society. So I think there are big issues at stake here. And I don't think it's a case of saying, well, this project cost X amount, another project cost another amount. Chris Reid's project went through a proper process of selection and investment by a public body involving elected representatives. Therefore, it has a validity. And the intention with this project was to create public value. And the test for public investment in the arts is whether public value emerges from that investment. I would argue in Chris Reid's case it has done, and in many other cases, but that's the test.
Joe, could I also make a point? Yeah. Because people say this all the time. You've had earlier on people talking about barbers making a living. Artists are entitled to make a living too. Chris Reid is not the kind of guy who's selling his paintings for hundreds, or his artwork, mm-hmm. for hundreds of thousands of euro. He's a modest income. He's entitled to make a living. And so if through these kind of schemes, artists like him make a living, that's a good thing. Money is going
okay.
around.
But I take that point, and anyone who says Chris Reid got 64,000 for a project which apparently he was working on and off, I presume, over 9 years. Well, apart from Manick saying that the whole thing was fraudulent or whatever, or not authentic or cliched, patronising, exploitative or whatever, there's no one else criticising it. But is there an overall point that things like 4 million, again, I quote the Irish Arts Review, 4 million on this contemporary arts exhibition in Aylesford Terrace last year was money down the drain?
Joe.
Declan.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, yes,
John, may I come in?
Yes, of course. Oh, sorry, it's John Gallagher. Sorry, right. John.
People should enjoy the book. It's very enjoyable. Right. The plaques look lovely, and the wall, the buildings have been. The brick now is like new. When the sun hits that wall, it's magnificent looking at them. Everything in the book was recorded, and it's accurate. And the people enjoy telling the stories. Some of them were a bit sad. Some of them were happy, and they enjoyed that period in their life. In the Liberties at the moment, the Liberties Heritage Project are doing a book on Dubliners. It's in St. Nicholas of Moher Parish Centre, and it'll be on in the City Hall on Culture Night, 2 weeks' time. Go to that, and in that you'll see what people from the Liberties think of Dubliners. And we have an opinion, and we have a right to express it, and other people have a right to know what we think.
Joe, could I make a point about the book that people want to see? I don't know if the book is on, if it's possible to buy the book now, because it was published quite a while ago, and I found it difficult. I bought copies of it to give to friends coming up to Christmas last year. If you can see a copy of this book in the public library, go and have a look at it, because the publishing values of this book are fantastic. It's a very well-produced book, and it's really well worth the money, the publisher. And just coming back to the point of whether the Emma thing last year in Aylesford Terrace was a waste of money. The problem with all artistic ventures is that the real test of them is time. Time is the thing. And just putting on...
Ah, but Peter, I don't know whether you went to see... And
I
by
did
the way,
go
you,
and
you
see
had,
it.
You had to pay in. It was quite expensive for families to get in.
Yeah, I did go and see
but
it.
A board, a dead seagull hanging upside down. Hello?
No, I'm not saying that everything that was there was absolutely fantastic. I mean, there were things there that you walk in and go, oh my God, what is this about? I don't deny that. I don't think that everything that there was that was on display there was the most fantastic piece of art. There were things there I was going, I wouldn't have my house if I got them for nothing. But there were other things that were very challenging and interesting.
Okay,
and
but I thought the most fascinating thing about that exhibition was the building. Aylesford Terrace, which had never been in, the old university building there, that part of it, which was fantastic. Declan, I come back to this thing. Do you believe, I presume I'm going nowhere when I say, when I quote you, that 4 million on this contemporary art exhibition in Dublin last year went down the drain? Which I'm sure NCAD, suffering all the cutbacks you're suffering, would have been glad of.
We are, absolutely. But I can't agree that that it's too easy to say that. I mean, the intention with that exhibition was to create an internationally visible exhibition which would bring people to Dublin from the international art world. And I think I understand it succeeded to some extent in doing that.
Declan, it didn't.
Oh, but
that's
the timing...
That's like Bord Fáilte just saying that their lunatic campaign they ran during the Olympics in London, telling English people to get away from the madness, the greatest thing that's happened in Britain since the end of the Second World War, and it completely backfired. That's like saying that Bord Fáilte campaign worked. It didn't.
No, what I was saying, Joe, was that
did the exact opposite.
What I was saying was that the intention... in the creation of that exhibition, which took place last year, but after a number of years of planning and consideration and so forth, it took place last year in the middle of a recession. So it was a difficult time for it to achieve its intended objectives. But I don't think you can dismiss, I think you need to be very careful about simply using phrases like down the drain. I don't agree with
I'm
that.
I'm quoting, but it's something I've spoken about before anyway. I thought it was down the drain, but that's not, my opinion is irrelevant and pretty worthless at this stage. But I'm quoting from the Irish Arts Review, who say that the money went down the drain.
Oh, no, people are entitled to their opinion, but I would just say that on the two or three times that I went to see that exhibition, it was actually, and I'm not here to defend the exhibition.
I think
we're still awaiting a debate on how effective it was and how effective the expenditure was, and it would be interesting to have that debate. Because we don't have all the figures yet completely
but
on
why
that.
Hasn't
but
okay,
but it
Declan,
was full of families. The period I was there was full of families and incredibly busy.
Well, at the end, they had to reduce the prices dramatically to get families in, you know that. But that's neither here nor there. And by the way, we're all in favour of public art and people making an effort and all that carrying. But the fact that there hasn't been an uproar about the position in the National Gallery, where three quarters of the National Gallery, our National Gallery, is closed now for over a year and another year to come, where IMA, most of IMA, whether they admit it or not, most of IMA is shut now for, will be shut for well over a year. A significant portion of the Ewe Lane Gallery has been shut, and there's been no public disquiet. What does that tell you, Declan?
Well, I think it's very worrying, and I think that's a product of the public in general and our society as a whole not actually believing. And it's of great concern to me as director of NCAD with students who will look forward to emerging into the world as artists and designers. It's a really worrying for me that this society does not appear to value the visual. And in fact, a group of heads of art colleges in Ireland have got together and we've been lobbying the Minister for the Arts, and we intend to talk to the Minister for Education as well, about the importance of visual literacy to join numeracy and literacy.
But
this is a long-term process.
There's more people want to come in on this, and I'll let them in after the next break. But surely, in the current atmosphere, that entrance to places such as our National Gallery and our Museum of Modern Art and our Ewe Lane Gallery, which are paid for and built over the years by the taxpayer and generations before us, surely the numbers going to that in the current atmosphere should increase. And whereas what's happening is all of these galleries, without exception, are suffering massive closures because of rebuilding or whatever, or massive cutbacks.
No, well, I wasn't aware that there were spaces closed in the Hugh Lane.
I was up there on last week, and it's one of my favourite places in the world.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they said these, because of staff shortages, these rooms are currently closed.
Oh, well, I think it's very, but it's a measure of and you're mentioning the lack of public outcry about that. I think that's a big problem and that we have to solve. But can I just say, my understanding about why IMA and the National Gallery are both closed at this time is that the roof in the National Gallery had to be repaired, and there were some building issues in the Royal Hospital building which couldn't be left and had to be dealt with. And it's an unfortunate coincidence of timing that they're both the two national institutions.
Okay, well, there's other angles on that, and I'll raise it if you can stay.
Joe,
yes,
I need
to take a break.
One last point about this is, you're saying that there was no outcry, and one of the reasons there's no outcry is because art is very low in terms of priority. Chris Reid's project was bringing art into the lives of ordinary people and making art out of the lives of ordinary people. And I'll bet that in the Bright Street area of Dublin now, people are more aware and more of art and its place and its value and its aesthetic qualities, all of that sort of stuff. If we had more of that, then there would be more of an outcry when art galleries were closed down.
And that being said, because I should embed some of my comments, a visit to the Ewe Lane, a visit to the National Gallery is still one of the most joyous free occasions you'll ever get access to, despite the fact that they are curtailed. Back after this.